minutes first. Oh, yes, it's like 8:02. Oh, 8:30 exactly, yeah. Yeah, correct, correct. 8:30, yeah. Okay, so we can start, huh? No, you can go forward on. You can go forward on. 不用啦, 你 move your cursor, 噗, 就过了. Oh, car one, forward lah. Oh, no, no, you got the slow forward and fast forward. No, ni, I think what you press on is change channel one, move to the next song one. No, there is another one, forward and. No, I don't know how to do it. Otherwise, definitely they all got to go there. The danger is I don't want that because you forgot to on another. It's okay, I think. Or when you all do the what, you can edit that one, isn't it? Cannot. Oh, then 不用啦, just leave it. I think it's okay. That half an hour or so, you need to. The computer very easy. You just shift. Come, yes. Okay, we can start our puja. So, compose your mind. Develop the sada, virya. Then, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then, after that, we will chant the Theravada puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana we ramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kame sumichachara we ramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada we ramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surame raya majapama datanana. Veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Sakyamuni, and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Okay. very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Yeah. Just relax yourself. Huh? Make sure that bodily and physically relax. Huh? So as usual, first 40 minutes meditation. But before we start, I just write the four support on the whiteboard. Always remember the four support for meditation. Because this one is very useful. I had shared this at the Thursday class and the Wu Ping Ching sat there. So tonight I will share it with you. Tuesday class. I spoken on this before, but now we will go deeper into it. First support is what? Can you recall? Relax is a very important phase. It's a very important step. If you are not relaxed, you cannot meditate. And relaxation is to be done at every stage. Understand not? Every stage your mind transform or you move into certain what they call mind states or you experience certain type of consciousness shift or whatever where there is a hindrance or what, you have to continue to relax into it. Even when you experience good meditative state, piti, sukha or whatever, you continue to relax deep into it. Asana. When you do that, the mind become liberated, like a free mind. Then there is no stress, nothing. Then that mind is very, very, what they call, has a lot of clarity. Then that mind is not stressed at all, because it's completely relaxed, fully relaxed. The mind that has stress cannot meditate technically, in inverted comma. So when you have all this disturbing you, people that cultivate without understanding go wrong is because they try to fight the hindrance. Understand? They try to control, suppress, and do a lot of things through their thought. End up in thought-based meditation. They don't know how to continue to silence and just relax and find out exactly what happened in the meditation. The Buddha says, see things as they are. Not see things according to what your mind tell you. Not according to what the mind is conditioned into seeing. Means through your views and opinion and your conditioning, you act from that memory. You act from that conditioning. So if you do that, your meditation will go the other way. Thought based, nothing to do with the real understanding of what happened. Means you're supposed to see things as they are, the reality, but instead you have a lot of concept, a lot of idea, a lot of dhamma coming in, manifesting through words, concept, label. When you start to label, thought is active. When thought is active, you are no longer mindful. Your mind is no longer in the natural states of sensitivity. Just like what Alicia shared just now. Very important. Where she said nowadays she can see the big difference between her state of mind as compared to last time. Now everything is very quiet, very peaceful, very silent. And she can actually perceive a lot of very, what they call, clear type of vibration. Even in Singapore, she relayed just now in the hotel. She was asking Freddie, you hear anything about the insect sound, the vibration? The mind becomes so sensitive. So these are the one that truly develop the cultivation accordingly. Then the mind will transform and it become like that. And because of that, the understanding can come. It will understand by itself. Then after that, when she listens to Dhamma or when she read my note, she will understand. Well, when you experience this silent mind, when you experience this sensitivity of mindfulness or what they call clarity of mind with inner awareness, that mind is very different from the normal heedless mind. the heedless mind got a lot of noise on, a lot of thought inside them, very heedless or very reactive one. Then the evil roots, the hindrance are all there. Whereas this one, like she said, nowadays, you hardly have any negativity inside your thought. Oh, it can happen like that. And those people who didn't develop the correct cultivation, they can never experience this type of thing. Because they try to control, suppress, and do all the funny meditation. Whereas the real one, you will know. When you become heedful instead of heedless, you transform that time. You are like that. Your state of mind is like that. Peaceful, calm, quiet, tranquil, aware. Then you realize your mental intention, your thought process, everything is so different from before. You don't, like before, react to everything. Ah, yeah. Can, yeah, use your own word. You better share. Very good.
I think I can describe the word amazing.
Yes. Ah, amazing. Yes. Very good. You describe. Continue to describe. Very good. You describe what
I
you share.
I never felt before. How to say? It's really amazing.
Yeah, very amazing. And you will come to know one that is so different. That's why just now she came in. She was asking me that first question. She said, but you like that one? Yeah, I say it like that one. And she said she's not scared. She knows it's something very different. Yes, and now she used the word amazing, that the mind can just transform like that. And you know, her meditation is very simple, you know, because she went through suffering before last time. All the suffering through the depression and all the wrong thought, everything. And she was actually very, very severely hit before she came. And because of that, when I spoke the Dhamma, especially the first Noble Truth Reality, the second Noble Truth, she can understand very fast. We have no need to explain Dukkha very clear. Then after that, when she understand, she just use her understanding to inquire and reflect and straighten her own view and change herself. Understand? Where every time when I describe the Dhamma, she will laugh. I said, your life, why you allow yourself to be so heedless and create so much evil root, negativity and suffering to harm yourself, to hurt yourself? Understand? You don't have to do that. Understand? Life is a lot more meaningful and beautiful. Understand? You don't have to every time react, become miserable, unhappy. And who suffer? You suffer. Then when you hit out, you cause other people to suffer. Understand? Then when you understand all this, you will naturally change on your own. When you saw how you become like that. And nobody in their right frame of mind, when they understand the Noble Truth, they know how they get themselves entangled and become afflicted, miserable, they will never go back to the old way. Understand? You understand? So that's why for her it's very easy. A lot of faith. Sada Virya, then she listened to the talk, the recording. She was the one that chased after Sri Anna, you remember? Before the recording come out, he chased after Sri Anna. They said, now Sri Anna very fast. Immediately class over, come out. Then last time she used to listen everywhere she travel and all those things. Then she used to have a lot of joy after that, because the Dhamma is like healing and able to give her the understanding to free her mind. Then as she continued with this cultivation, the daily routine, everything, because of the reflection, contemplation and the understanding, the second turning wisdom, this understanding and wisdom will manifest when she confront life situation again. Then she will suddenly realize over the period of training, and not long, no, I think less than 2 years, 1 year plus, and she changed until, transformed until so different. From total, not only heedless now, with a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, you know, sorrow, lamentation, with a lot of suffering, you know, depression, everything, the mind can be transformed into heedfulness, into a very, very different mind, you know, so peaceful, so calm, so and she can even know that now, no more of this negative thought, you know, understand? That one is the most difficult to do away with, one. Because this habitual tendency, your character is very difficult to change. It is deeply ingrained in the heedless people. It becomes habitual tendency, your habit now. Every time you see something, hear something, recall or think of something, you will react one. And you will do all the funny things that brings about a lot of misery, suffering, but they cannot see. That's why for her, when she understand, when she saw, she determined to change. Then she straightened her view. Then all those things that I share with you all is very important. See things as they are. Accept them for what they are. Alasana, deluded people say deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. So when you accept them for what they are, doesn't mean you agree with them. But the moment you accept, you are at peace. Alasana, but this is the reality. Causes and conditions are that it has to go this way. If you fight reality, you want things your way, which is against nature's law or the reality, you will suffer. You will arise affliction, suffering, misery. So never, never go against nature. Nature has this set of law, condition like that, it will manifest like that. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will arise. Then today I add in one thing. My teacher, Achanyandra, taught me one other. You listen, huh? We choose accept everything as natural. Can you understand? Huh? Because everything follow nature's law. Understand, huh? Then second part is it. It's only mighty nature rolling by. Understand? Huh? Mighty nature with its nature's law operating. Understand? Huh? That's why he used the word mighty nature rolling by. When you can accept everything as natural, following nature's law, then everything is mighty nature rolling by with its forces, following nature's law. You always at peace. That's how you will know how to flow an aircon, and you become so beautiful. And nothing in this world can trouble you anymore. There you understand very clearly what life is all about. The secret of life. The laws that governs life and existence, you have understood them clearly. And you can have the wisdom to accept that reality, and you never go against. And you always accord and flow. Then you have with you the Noble Eightfold Path teaching. That's why you know how to act. After you accept, you become peaceful, because you don't react, you don't blame, you don't do any of this negativity like before. You are no longer heedless. So with that clarity, with their calm mind, you will know how to act. Understand? You will make better decisions because you have clarity. You can see things clearly. Then with the Dhamma, when you manifest and act, you will know how to resolve things amicably, because Noble Eightfold Path is without negativity. Understand? It's always right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought, speech, and action. Then the right effort to prevent them from arising later on when you have the wisdom and understanding. You can even stop it from arising. Then the right effort to continue to purify your mind, to develop the understanding. The right effort to what they call cultivate the virtue, the kindness, the goodness. All of the right thought, right speech, right action that is still not in you. Then the last one is the right effort to continue to refine upon and perfect all this virtue that you have already started to cultivate. If you continue to cultivate like that, you become noble one, enlightened being very fast. Then with this silent mind, your understanding of the form and mind will arise. You will know who you are, what you are. And you will understand everything, all of phenomena, the universal characteristic. Through that silent mind, you will insight into their universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self. And all this will come through very clearly. And just now, before we start, I share with a few of them. Like I predicted last year, this year, the Dhamma will flourish for the Kayanamitta. And really, the last 2-3 weeks, very strange. Many of these Kayanamitta, they just transform and Some of them without them knowing, but when they confront situation, they start to understand, just like what Alicia went through. But everyone is different. Then the last Sunday talk, Wu Ping Jing Sir, you go and listen. The Q&A part. And also the sharing for those going to Anandagiri. You listen to it. It's very useful. Then there's one sister from Klangon, Kelly. She only new to the class. I think she only attended the Thursday class. I think not more than 10 sessions, if I'm not wrong. And she understand and she connect so fast. Just because of last Thursday talk, I talk about this four support. First is relax. So relaxation is very important. After that is maintain awareness. Means train your mind to develop the sati. Then if you can cultivate until it's continuous. Continuous awareness. Or 24 hours. Initially, of course, not easy. Initially is during your waking moment. Then the last one is trust. You don't use thought anymore. You trust your nature. You just let your nature do. Relaxation is very important. You have to relax into every stage of your meditation. Before you start, body and mind relax. Remember? Then you need to train your mind, train to develop awareness, sati. If you already train, then you no need to do. If you still have those heedlessness and all those what they call restlessness, and you need to train your mind to be peaceful, to have the inner peace, inner awareness, then you use the mind sweeping method to actually reverse the heedless thinking. So that the mind becomes peaceful, quiet. Because you only feel, you relax, you don't think anymore. So it will reverse the heedless thinking. Then after that, stabilize it with any of the object of meditation that you are familiar with. Anapanasati or whatever. So meditation is just doing these two things. Then the moment you train, you have awareness. Means the second support is there. Once it's stabilized, you have to maintain the continuity of it. Means after you have trained in the form of meditation, you determine to be mindful and aware and carry this trained state of mind into your daily life. That is the real meditation. And you can do it through puja. That's a lot. Your daily routine. That's why every day, morning when you wake up, before you sleep and in between. Then maintain daily mindfulness. So when you continue with that daily mindfulness, the third support will be cultivated. And when this thing happens, you will progress very fast. Yeah. So today I want to stress more on the theory part because it's recorded. Then for meditation, maybe we cut short a bit. We cut short to 15 minutes. Okay, now you can start your meditation. Everybody already know how to meditate. You need to train, you do your mind sweeping method, then we will off the light for you. Then if you already no more heedless like before, your mind is relatively quiet, so you only need to anchor your mind so that anapanasati can help you to stabilize the mindfulness. And then you do anapanasati. Just be patient. Develop the awareness of this in and out breath. Every time you wander off, bring it back. Wander off, bring it back. If you are patient enough, anapanasati will become a part of you. And you will become very peaceful, very quiet, very calm. And you will like to meditate. Okay? So, I will let you develop your meditation. Then I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes time. Okay. Okay. Tonight we spend less time, 15 minutes of form of meditation. But I think it's okay because when you go back, you got a lot of time. Then later on, as your stability of mind develop, when you are more and more mindful throughout the day, always remember, be aware of all action movement when you are at home. Even blinking of your eye, lifting of your hand, turning, stretching, bending, whatever activity you do. You have to develop this daily mindfulness so that all action, all movement, no matter how subtle, we are at home, you have better control and condition of the situation. So when you can develop until this mindfulness become like continuous, you will come to know all of a sudden one day you will feel very, very strange, a type of transformation, like everything is a flow, all your movement action look like a person in slow motion, no? But every movement, every activity is connected, no thought, as you walk, stretch or whatever, even when you take bath, drink something, it's continuous mindfulness, and by itself it will come on. But you must determine to be mindful and aware. Then you have to start to connect them. Means most of the time, human beings' problem is you aware, then there is a space where you are heedless. Then you try to be aware one more time. That's why they say moment to moment. This type of awareness or sati is not stable enough. So you need to develop until it becomes continuous. That's why the Buddha explained Dhammapada verse 23. And Dhammapada verse 23 is what Appamada is all about, heedfulness. The Buddha said the constantly meditative and ever mindful and the steadfast one, they will realize the bond free Nibbana. Means they will become enlightened. Constantly meditative means constantly cultivating the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. Ever mindful. Ever mindful is continuous mindfulness. But not in a concentration state, not in an absorption state. In a free mind. In a normal consciousness, normal state of awareness. But that awareness is continuous. That's why the word ever mindful. If you hold on to this cultivation, you will realize Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. So meditation is very simple. Train your mind to be heedful. You are destined for enlightenment. Like the Buddha said, Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, the heedless are as if dead. So if you can just cultivate heedfulness, you will transform, you will become enlightened. And this daily mindfulness, you should start with your daily activity at home first, bowing and all those things. Even when you go and do your daily chores, like mopping floor, sweeping floor, washing clothes, ironing, the moment you're silent, you are already aware, mindful, and then you realize the body and the mind always as one. Everything you do is always as one. Even your seeing, that's why through your seeing, your awareness, the mindfulness and the phenomena is one. That's why I told you all last time. You will come to understand all of a sudden, even when you walk out of your house, or even you go to office, or when you go about doing your daily chaos activity outside, one day you will be very surprised. Like everything is just slow motion. Your mind and that phenomenon is one. You see the car passing by. Huh? There is no concept, nothing. You know it's a car where you perceive, but you don't think. And the awareness and that car move. Understand? Then you realize everything you come to perceive within your vision, that seeing consciousness, you don't like become like before, react to what you see, no more already. Everything you see, that specific phenomenal awareness, that phenomenal in your mind move as one another. Even the leaf, when there is wind, you see the branches, the leaf, they sway, remember? The movement, you just silent. You realize the mind and that thing move as one. Your nature and that nature is one. You will come to experience all those things. Then later on, even hearing, that vibration and your nature become one. The awareness and the thing become one. Initially is kaya, body and mind is one. Wherever your body is, the mind is, that is kaya rupasana. Then later on, phenomenal, specific phenomenal awareness. Then after that, all of the sense data. During that time, you already realize the meditative mind. Otherwise, you cannot do that. You already have the sati, very stable. Then when you meditate, you very easily go into quietness, stillness, silence, with inner awareness. Then what you will experience is, you just have to silence. Allow the mind to be. You need to anchor it to the heart, anchor it there. Then it will detect any vibration, any heartbeat, it will detect. Then just stay there. But you only need something for it to stay there. Understand? But you don't go and focus there. Understand? Don't go and concentrate there. You just stay there. Like just aware, stay there. Yeah. Then from there, general spacious awareness. You just aware that everything that arises, the awareness will perceive, it will know, but it will not think. Of course, you want to contemplate, you want to get a better understanding of it, it can think. But very slow or very little thinking. Most of the time it's contemplation, reflection. Then most of the time it's just aware, aware, aware. I remember there were certain phases during the early day, I remember. Throughout the day, my mind just aware. It is like no sound, but I use the word ta 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 ta. And so now, every moment is an awareness, 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 awareness. It's just aware. Because if you are not aware, you cannot live life. Understand? You aware, perceive, but it's a continuous awareness. Your thought don't proliferate like last time. The heedless one, they got no time to rest on. The moment they hear something or see something, the thought arises, the reaction. Sadhu, thank you so much. Sadhu, sadhu. Thank you. Sadhu. So this is very sensitive. Because my throat got problem. She aware. I say she went to the back. And this kind of wholesomeness is very, very different because it comes from an understanding. And when somebody needs, you know, you can go and get it and make an offer. It's very wholesome. So later on, all this will come through your cultivation and practice. So now I have a drink first. Thank you so much. Because of what happened, that's why now I will move into another phase of sharing and teaching. I will go into the actual cultivation of daily mindfulness. Last time I cannot teach like that because people are not ready. Then recently, like I told you, last 2-3 weeks or what, actually it was this year onward after the March retreat, because I felt the sign and I knew. Many Kayana Mita has actually progressed. like I used to say, a lot of you may not know. But when you encounter a situation, you will start to understand, you will start to experience all these things. Then because it was never shared and described openly, like recently. So most of you may not know what that thing is. But when you start to understand how people transform and change and how they actually develop their progress, you yourself will also understand that you have changed, you have transformed. And everyone is different. Everyone is unique. Understand not? Don't be like those thought-based meditation. You know what they do when they hear already. They go and look for it. Oh, I want to be like Alicia. I want to be like Joyce. I want to be like last night Anna. You remember Anne went to India? Then when the trip start, is it? That's why that trip was like meant to be. He said the mantra just came, you know, and it was throughout the day, you know, like 24 hours with her, you know, and she was so calm, so peaceful, and so mindful throughout the day. How does it happen? Because there were conditions for it, understand? And the faith, the past cultivation, and the affinity, the condition that it connects. Then she just understand. Then many things happen. That's why. Each and every one of you have your story, understand? Even Bichin later you will know, you will start to understand many things. You only need to have faith, then develop the what they call spiritual faculty first, then train your mind, then determine to be mindful, then meditate more, develop more punya. Bowing, body and mind as one silent. Then determined to be aware of every action, every movement in the present moment. Everything you do. Like you see, you know, Alicia, move her hand, there's an itching. You are aware. And how come I can see all the movement? Because I am silent. When he is silent, he can talk, he can speak, but I got no thought. But the awareness nature already there. But it's very difficult for you all to understand and have this ability, because for me, 20 years ago, my mundane mind collapsed and my nature shined forth. That's why this awareness is always with me. 24 hours non-stop. Continuously there. And I know what the true mind is. And I know what the mundane mind is. The condition arising mind, the five aggregate of my mind. That one is the false one, understand? That one is the condition arising one. Whereas the true nature, the true mind is eternally there, is different. So the condition arising mind has the characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, empty. Because they are condition arising. They come and they go, dependent on condition. They don't have a true entity. There is no permanent unchanging entity behind them. That's why their characteristic is anicchang dukkhang anatta. They belong to the conditioned world. They are not the unconditioned. Whereas the ultimate reality, which is the unconditioned, is beyond thought, beyond mind. And that one you will understand also. When you train your mind, when you develop your meditation. So, today, a little bit different. But for those who have the condition, who are ready, they will understand very clearly. Then they will know how to progress. Because unless there is condition, unless certain people have developed to certain stages of meditation and understanding, then the Dhamma cannot shine for or arise, because there was no condition for it to arise. Even if it arises, it would not benefit anybody because they are not ready. But sometimes the Dhamma arises because the non-human want to know, understand? The higher beings, they want to understand. That's why sometimes they condition some of you to ask, So the question, then the condition arises, then the Dhamma that I not supposed to speak as yet one suddenly come out, understand? Then I knew these people, they want to know. During the early day, it happened many times. People are not ready, but that time of Dhamma come out. Then later on, I come to know actually it's for them. And you can sense them rejoicing and all those things. Even when we were in Cameron Highland retreat, remember? So many things happen. Those who are sensitive and those who have the affinity, they will know. A lot of things happen. Because there is very unique. The great beings, Bodhisattva and Buddha nature, they are all over. So that's why when you have faith, when you really, really determine, then you go and talk to them. There will be a response. And you will feel them. Because your sincerity creates the affinity. Then they are bound. Because this Mahayana, great Bodhisattvas and Buddhas, their vows are very, very powerful. It has become part of nature's law. You only need to connect, make the connection, then everything will just flow. Then it will unfold. That's why I say, Kuan Yin need not be there. Amitabha need not be there. Then even Hussein, Wenshu, Tichang Wang, they need not be there. But because their nature, through their vow, it will manifest accordingly. So when you have faith, sadha, virya, then when your sati develop, cultivate, then you know what this thing is and you sincerely determine and aspire, you will connect. And the moment you connect, you become so beautiful. Where they will protect you, they will guide you, they will bless you. And you are like very blessed. Your life become very different. And your faith strengthened. Then you become very, very confident. Then you have a lot of joy. Then like Alicia say, really amazing. Things can just be like that. That's why the Dhamma is so wonderful. Can touch the hearts of living beings. And can liberate and transform living beings. Can bring about the noble life, the peaceful and happy life. As opposed to the what they call worldly life of suffering and misery. The conditioned world is full of suffering. That's why there is this noble truth of suffering, the first noble truth. And when you don't have understanding or wisdom, you will be afflicted by the first noble truth reality, the eighth condition. You cannot escape. But the moment you understand this truth, because they are noble truth, truth that make you noble one or enlightened one, you like transcend the world. Because you suddenly like understood the secret of life. Then you know how to live. And life is just so simple. The moment you understand, you are free. That's why you don't have to let go. Letting go is for the one that don't understand. The moment you understand, you cannot hold already. You're no longer deluded. So when you cannot hold, what is there to let go? Letting go is for somebody who is deluded, who hold. Then they practice letting go. That's why when you understand and penetrate, your understanding is different. That's why people are still talking about practice letting go. Not impermanent, not this. Then practice letting go. How can you practice letting go? Without wisdom, you cannot let go. The moment you have wisdom, you don't have to practice letting go. You know why is that? The moment you have wisdom, you cannot hold. Because you are not deluded anymore. And you see them very clearly. Thought has got no more power over you. The evil root has got no more power over you. And you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence so clearly. So without delusion, they have no power over you. they lose their ability to confuse you, to delude you, to condition you to grasp, cling, and hold. So when you no longer have that delusion to hold, you don't have to let go. Correct? That's why people cannot understand. And human being is very gullible. I realize one thing. Whatever they appear logical, oh, they say, oh, that must be the truth. That's why when people say, let go, they 100% agree on, yeah, I attach lah, because I cannot let go. That's why I suffer. It's not about letting go. It's about developing the understanding and wisdom not to be confused. Then you don't have to hold. And when you are not holding, what is there to let go? You can only let go when you hold. When you hold means you have delusion. A person with delusion that hold, practice letting go. You ask yourself the logic. What is going on? But the Buddhist fraternity, the cultivator, they are still talking about letting go. Don't attach lah, let go lah. Don't panic lah. So all this are words, concept, idea, not reality. Reality is without wisdom you will hold, and without wisdom you cannot let go. That's why there must be wisdom. Yoniso manasikara, at every moment of sense experience. This yoniso manasikara is wise attention. If wisdom is not there, yoniso manasikara cannot be there. So every moment of consciousness, you don't know how to act. Understand? Well, without wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you will not. You will be conditioned into craving, negativity. Then when you have reflected, contemplated, when your second turning wisdom is there, then the moment, sometime upon contact, is at the moment of sense experience, it will arise. Then you react to your habitual tendency. Understand? That wrong view, that condition, the habitual tendency is still there. Understand? But because you contemplated, reflected, the wisdom is already there. So the moment you do that, you're aware, understand? Then you know this will lead to suffering. This will lead to karmic negativity. You cannot do. Then you will know how to arise the right effort to abandon. Understand? That's how you cultivate and purify. Then you will start to see, because the understanding haven't stabilized. The habitual tendency is still there. It's okay. Let it arise. Don't go and control, suppress. Don't want to get angry. Want to maintain mindfulness. Forget about it. Who is maintaining? The thought is trying to maintain. The thought is trying to control, suppress. I must not get angry. Anger is evil. All this is delusion. Anger is condition arising. Nothing to do with you, understand? It arises and it passes away. You still around, understand? If anger is you, when it passes away, you die straight away. But you didn't die. So how come you still deluded by anger, thinking that I'm angry? No. Anger comes from wrong view, delusion. The mind stir and react because you got wrong view. You want things your way. You cannot accept what people do and what people say. You want them to have specific behavior and character according to what you believe is good and right. So deluded people tend to have this type of problem, and they will suffer because every time they react and want things their way, suffering will be the result, because this is nature's law. You have to understand it clearly and then develop the understanding to God and flow. You cannot be stubborn. You cannot go against. Even Bhayakati came to understand that fact. You cannot fight what is. The moment you fight the reality, what is, you suffer. What is the truth, the reality, the way things are. If it's conditionally like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. If you want to change the world, can introduce appropriate new condition. That's how you determine to your aspiration. Then you cultivate. Follow the advice of the Buddha to constantly avoid all evil. Do good. Then constantly purify your mind. And this will bring forth the condition for you to transform. Then your character, your personality, all they will fall into place. Then you will slowly have more and more right view, less and less of this wrong view. This is what the Buddha meant by straightening your view. When you listen to Dhamma, when you cultivate, when you contemplate and reflect, you develop understanding and wisdom, then you start to straighten your view and change for the better. So straightening of view is one of the powerful meritorious action, one of the 10 meritorious action. Listening to Dhamma also same. Meditation also one of the 10 meritorious action. When you contemplate, reflect, second turning wisdom is meditation. When you listen to Dhamma, first turning is meditation. When you go back and read up all the Dhamma notes, reflect, contemplate, that is meditation. Then when you silence your mind, cultivate four foundations, that is Bhavana, Maya, Panya, third turning, meditation. So all the three turning you can do in daily life, no problem. And they are very, very straightforward and easy when you understand. But when you don't understand, a lot of technique, method, teacher, argue here, argue there. Last night I met one of the Kahalamita's parent, the father also. the view was very strong. So I understand. So I have a lot of compassion. I know I must spend time with him, allow him to talk. We talk for almost 3 hours, I think, while having dinner. He keep on asking me. Initially it was politic, slang. Then after that, Mahayana and Theravada. Then he told me why he was like that. Yeah, last time, during the early days, he is a lot older than me. I think 70 plus. Then they had this Dhamma sharing. They got this Dhamma group. According to him, that time they were very happy. He was together with those people of his time. There is this Uncle Tan Teck Beng, also their group. Then there is another person. So among that group, I think these two were the more distinguished. Then Uncle Tan Teck Beng become president of BMS, Brickfield Temple. So this one is Theravada. Very strong in that understanding. Then the other one, I think also equally distinguished, hate the Mahayana one. So these two cannot agree. So the whole group break up. Then he himself got trapped in the middle. Bo also his good friend. He said, Theravada complained about Mahayana, saying that well, Mahayana, he said, according to Mahayana, he said, the Arahant is selfish. Because you know what is selfish, isn't it? But they don't understand. They use the word crudely, understand? It's actually in inverted comma. You know what is selfishness? Think of yourself. Understand? So an Arahant only cultivate to liberate themselves there. Self-enlightenment is there. So that's why, because of that, he said Arahant is selfish. But they no more ignorant, no more delusion. How can they be selfish? But because selfishness means to them, they are Mahayana, when you think of yourself, you cultivate to liberate yourself, to become enlightened yourself. Whereas Mahayana is, they make vow to take across all beings. So serve is about self. Self is last. Not until all these beings become enlightened, they themselves will delay the enlightenment. So in that sense, it's selfish. But the ego there, you know, the Deva, the Tavli Tahana, how can Arahan selfish? He said, Buddha also Arahan, no. That's why we chant Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato. He said, Buddha also Arahan, no. You mean Buddha also selfish? They go and argue with them. Then end up the Tirada unhappy, you know what they do? They counter. He said, all the Mahayana Sutta, not in the Tirada Sutta, not in the, what they call Tipitaka. He's a fake one. That's how you end up argue. I said, why is this thing happening? I said, how do you have that idea? He said, they told me lah. That word very important. They told me lah. It's your thought. You have been told. I said, if you ask me, I tell you differently. I said, they are the same. They complement each other actually. And who divide? Human being divine. During the Buddha's time, where got Theravada, where got Mahayana, where got Vajrayana? Asana. After the Buddha, a lot. Asana. During the Buddha's time, he only shared the truth, Dhamma. Asana. And the essence is the Four Noble Truth. But after the Buddha, so many things come. Asana. Then I say, like every profession in this world, they have their own black sheep. Understand? That's why you don't cling to the religious label. Understand? You try to label yourself, I Theravada, I Mahayana, I Vajrayana. You think that religious label will make you different or special. Understand? Whether you are spiritual or not spiritual is not your religious label. Understand? You call yourself Buddhist, Christian, to me no meaning. That is only your labor. But are you sure you are spiritual? A spiritual person has the virtue, has the wisdom and the understanding. If you don't have virtue, if you don't have wisdom, you claim to be spiritual because you hold that label, I'm a Buddhist, you know. I cannot kill, you know. I cannot call raw fish and all those things. You know. Does that make you spiritual? That is your view, and you are being rigid in that sense that you don't understand the true teaching. The true understanding is very different from what the world thinks. That's why within the conditioned world, before you awaken and understand, a lot of the things you come to perceive or carry in your brain and your mind, they are all delusions. Self-delusion, sakality, ignorance. That's why everything that you think is right is the opposite. They call it Malay Tabalia. So, before you have the awakening, the understanding and the wisdom, please, don't argue with people. Otherwise you get yourself into trouble for nothing. You create your own negativity, your coming obstruction, and you get yourself into your nature into deep problem later on. That's why karma, you need to be very careful. Your action, speech and thought process, your views and opinion, all this, you have to really, really be very heedful. Cultivate, straighten them. Okay, now we still got, today still got time, 45 minutes. Anybody want to ask any question or report any meditation? Maybe we can have one. Yes. Pass the mic over.
I guess I meant to ask this, or rather ask Brother Teo to elaborate a little bit on this. On the word reflection, understanding, contemplation, and realization. These four stages. I think, from my personal experience, a lot of people use these four words in the English context. But when you actually use it in a spiritual context, it's actually quite different. And a lot of people actually get stuck because they use it in the English context.
Yeah, because they take the word literally. Understand? Just like just now, the Mahayana and the Theravada argue over that word, what? Selfish. Arahant is selfish. Wow, big problem. But they take the word literally. Understand? You see, language or words are subject to interpretation. Understand? So if you are not specific and clear about it, it can lead to a lot of misunderstanding, confusion. And this is what is happening in the world. People just quote you. Then they got selfish intention. They quote you out of context. Then they make fun of you and they say negative thing about you. Understand? That's why I always warn you all, remember? Never quote me. Unless you understand what I say. And then you can quote. No problem. Just like I quote the Buddha's teaching. Because I understand what the Buddha teach. So when you have the understanding, no problem. You can quote my words. You can say like what Brother Teo say. Let things be. Because you understand. But when you don't understand, you go and quote it. Hell or dangerous. Hey, Brother Teo say let things be. Or you keep poor. You totally out of context. You quote me correctly. You know? I use that word. You know? Let things be. Accept them for what they are. So when you interpret it the other way, it can become very, very opposite. So all these things, when you start to understand, then you will come to know why it's so difficult to teach, to share. Because living beings are very gullible. They are heedless, number one. They got their views and their opinion. They got their preference. Then they interpret things according to what they think and what they know and their conditioning. So they approach life from that anger. Similarly, cultivation is the same. So just now, the question by Joyce is very good. Is that this forward, contemplate, reflect, then understanding and realization. So this forward, now we discuss it. So this four support, no need. This one, I think most of you already have it understood. So these four words commonly talk about contemplation, reflection, then understanding and realization. So now we discuss this. Realization. Okay. First one, I have explained before, contemplation, how you do it. Then this one plus inquiry. So, Joyce's question is, many people interpret it differently. So that's why the cultivation become quite confusing at times. So what is your understanding of contemplation? How do you contemplate? Hui Rong asked the same question last week, which is very useful that I explained already. You can go and listen to a recording again. But it's very beautiful. Contemplate means what? From the word contemplate. You can never contemplate until you have an inquiry. You have to contemplate something. If you don't inquire, you cannot contemplate. Understand? Not? So these two words actually, they are related. To contemplate is to reflect, based on an inquiry. So you have to inquire. Why did the Buddha say that, Anasana? How can I understand the Noble Truth? Yeah. So when you look at the first turning, second turning, and the third turning, yeah, which is in the chart here, the first turning, wisdom, come about through hearing during the time of the Buddha. Suttamaya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the sutta or the discourse as spoken by the Buddha. Nowadays, we are more fortunate. You can listen to recording. Then you can also read up the transcript. There are books, there are texts, there are written, what they call media. Then you can go into the internet. Yeah. So, first turning nowadays, you got more access towards it. You don't have to, during the Buddha's time, you miss the talk, that's it. Because nothing, that time no technology, no recording, nothing. You have to wait for the next talk. Or you have to wait for Ananda to repeat it. So, and you have to go to India and follow him all. And you go there, the crowd is so big, sometimes you hear in the sutta, 1,200 over arahant. They already sit in front. No? You lay people, you at the back of all. After the 1,002, no mic, nothing. No? So during that time, it's not easy. So we are now actually very fortunate. We got microphone, we got CD, we got WhatsApp, we got internet, we got computer. We got everything. So technology does help. Don't blame technology. So to reflect and to contemplate, you need to inquire into what you have heard, what you have read, understand? Because initially, if you are new to the subject, that's why like the Buddha said, unless you have your past parami cultivation, first turning, listen, you awaken really, like Andanya. Otherwise, you have to go for the second turning. What is second turning? Second turning, the Buddha say, after you hear, you still cannot awaken. Nowadays, after you have read about it, or re-listened to it, if you still cannot really awaken or develop the deeper understanding, so you go to the second turning. So in the second turning, the Buddha say, you're supposed to inquire, reflect and contemplate into what you have heard, what you have read, and try to develop deeper understanding. So inquiry, the Buddha gives you the guideline. The Four Noble Truths, the second turning, he turned it differently for every Noble Truth. First Noble Truth, he said, this Noble Truth of suffering, dukkha, is to be what? Understood. So your inquiry is what? Why did the Buddha say that? Then how can I understand the Noble Truth? So when I inquire, I will reflect. Reflect means I don't go and think. No. I don't go and actively think. No. That is not reflection. No. Contemplate also, I don't go and actively think. No. So to reflect and to contemplate, you need condition. You must be alone. Your mind must be silent. Environment must be quite conducive. That's why the best place to do reflection and contemplation is at the retreat, with nature. Then later on, of course, when you come back, at home is the best because you are alone. Sometimes when you answer nature's call, you can reflect and contemplate. Sometimes I just walk in the garden, or in the house, or in the park. I relax and I just walk. Because I have the inquiry. How can I let Kayanamita understand? And then that thing will arise, the inquiry. And that inquiry will lead to the contemplation, the reflection. Then what happens is the mind with that clarity, the clarity inside, means the silent mind, the heedful mind, it will reflect on when I share that time. What was the response? What was the feedback? And then from there, it will start to arise the condition for me to understand. Oh, then I come to understand initially. What they need is not Dhamma. The basic, essential teaching also they cannot understand. That's why all this actually wasting time. So that I have to go back to basic, essential Dhamma. That's why I start over again. I start to talk about the five hindrances, five spiritual faculty, the three evil roots, the four noble truths, the three turning. I have to explain them again and again. What they want last time was vipassana. Seven factor of enlightenment, four foundation of mindfulness. Oh, all the high flower and jhana. Then I realized what they need is just like you go to kindergarten, ABC also you don't know. How to form word, how to make sentence. Before you learn how to stand, you want to fly. Cannot. So that's why I go back. Then when I try to get the teaching through, they thought I repeat, variety over repeat. Same thing, talk over again. The whole of Thursday class, you go there, Suyan will know. Those who go there, they will know. For the last 5 over years, I've been sharing there and teaching. The essential Dhamma is the same. Five hindrances, five spiritual faculty, and the three evils. And the three wholesome actions. Sila, Samadhi, Prajna. So, Dana, Sila, Bhavana. So, all these are the same essential Dhamma. But every time I explain differently, when condition is different, even now it's still the same. But it's deeper because as people progress, things become different, conditions become different, then the sharing become different. That's why it's not easy to share or teach. If I'm the rigid one, diary, everybody must meditate, follow me, my method, my technique. You cannot report otherwise, you must report. Then Brother Teo's method, Brother Teo's technique, you die. Then everyone is different now. If I'm so rigid, if I don't have the actual understanding, how can I guide and I share? Cannot. And some of them that come, I tell you, actually, from what my nature understands, in this world, very few people can teach them. Very, very few. Because they are so different. So different. And most of them, you go, they will think you something wrong. They dare not accept you. This type of student, I think you got mental problem. Please don't come. Otherwise, you create more problem. Where is Pauline? She meditating. Her case is a classic. Cameron. If you meet this type of student and you don't understand their condition, I tell you, you sure don't know what to do. And people like that have their condition behind. So wisdom is not something that you can simply through knowledge, through book knowledge, through intellectual understanding, accumulate and want to share and teach. Cannot. Very difficult. So coming back to this four question by Joyce. The first two are related, so I have already explained through the inquiry, like the first noble truth. The Buddha said this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. The first inquiry is why. Then you reflect. Then you contemplate. Why must I understand this noble truth? If I don't understand how, what happened? Then as you reflect, it's very easy. If I don't understand what dukkha is, I will be miserable. I suffer without knowing what is going on. Just like what happened to Alicia last time, when nobody explained to her what is suffering. And she thought it's normal. Everybody also go through life like that. And a lot of people also quite similar, except different version and variation. And you see in the hospital, a lot of people, patient going to psychiatric ward and all things. And now the young people also go there. So when you don't understand, means you suffer without knowing that this is suffering. So. But when the moment she understands what suffering is, she can just wake up and make a conscious decision to change. Understand? Because my life, like I always tell her and you all, your life, you know, you decide how you want to live. You know. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your decision and choice. You know. Choose wisely, choose to be happy. Then why are you not happy? Why are you still miserable? Because you don't understand what suffering is. Or then when the Buddha, through the first Noble Truth, when he explained the eight reality of life and existence, that each and every living being, as long as you live long enough, you will have to confront them. And when you confront them without wisdom, suffering will arise. Oh, then you reflect, you contemplate. Oh yeah, birth, old age, sickness and death, everybody need to confront. If I wait till I am hit, then only I start to worry about it, I will suffer. Why not I develop the understanding now, so that when I confront it, I can have the understanding and the wisdom to free, to liberate. That will bring us to the third one, understanding. That's why you must cultivate. Reflect, contemplate, develop the understanding, second turning wisdom, so that they are ready to protect you. And the Buddha teach you what? The five daily contemplation, understand? To overcome the first noble truth, suffering, reality. That's why you have to reflect, contemplate. Then develop that second turning wisdom, understanding. So that the next time when you confront all this reality, you know how to actually free your mind. Where you understand the Four Noble Truths, you know what suffering is. Then second noble truth, you know the cause behind suffering. And under the second turning, this cause, which is craving, need to be abandoned. Yeah. So suffering need to be understood. So first inquiry is, why? Now you understand. Without knowing, I suffer. Without knowing what suffering is, I become miserable. The moment I know what suffering is, then I have a possibility of liberating from it. Understand? Then when I know the cause, it's easier. Yeah. So, first inquiry is, why? Second inquiry is, how can I understand? Then you reflect and contemplate on the eight reality, like I mentioned just now. And then you realize that these are real important issues in life. Understand? The first four is very obvious. We birth, come old age, sickness and death. And many people suffer and become miserable over old age, sickness and death. Then separation from loved ones, or your possession, your wealth, your property, your career, or anything you own or hold on to dearly. And this is the biggest suffering in the world. Separation. Separation need not mean during death or crisis or calamity, nature's disaster. Sometimes, while you're still alive, you can have separation, divorce and all those things. Relationship breakdown. Your relationship with your children breakdown. Your brothers, your good friend, all can cause a lot of suffering born of separation from loved one. Then when you lost what you built or created, your wealth, your career, your whatever ideal, and things that you hold on to dearly, if you suddenly lose them because of certain condition, you can become miserable. Then sometimes people commit suicide. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, suffering will arise. When you cannot get what you want, expectation not met, you also can become miserable, afflicted. Then like the Buddha said, in short, it is due to your delusion that condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to this fire aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's you, it's real. You cannot see the characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering and non-self or empty nature. So this is the cause of suffering, the final summary. Then you need to ask yourself, why did the Buddha say that? I must investigate, I must put to test. So how can I put to the test? I must inquire, what is this five aggregate of form my mind? Right now, if I don't even know what they are, how can I put to the test? So when you inquire, that's how I came to realize during the early day, the two aspects of the five aggregate of form my mind. The book never write. Nobody teach me. But I understand. That's why I can share with you all. Then when you understand, you put to the test. The first aspect as a human being, if I attach and cling on to this human body deludedly, do I suffer? You definitely suffer. You worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. So if I attach to my feeling, do I suffer? I become miserable. Yeah, I like pleasant feeling. I don't like unpleasant feeling. You don't like, yet you cling and hold and become miserable over it. Because you are holding on to the red hot iron ball that torment you and burn you without realizing that. These are the things that burn you and torment you. So what you need to do, if it's a real hot, red hot iron ball, your tactile consciousness, you will sense it that it's hurting you, burning you, torment. Then immediately you will allow it to be. Means you don't touch or hold it anymore. The understanding will free you. Like you see a cobra, you somehow go and play with it. It's going to kill you. It's poison. So when you see, you will know what to do. No need to fear. So the red hot iron ball, human beings are deluded where they say, this is my problem, I must solve it. Yeah, solve it, correct. But don't hold on to it and try to solve it. When you hold on to it, you are burned, tormented. And your mind got no clarity. That's why you cannot act. You cannot solve the problem. So when you put it down, means what? You have to accept that reality of that situation. And then with the clear mind, when you are not tormented, when it's not burning you, then you can reflect and contemplate. What are my options? How can I resolve this amicably? And how can I act through noble eightfold path? And then you got the answer to the whole thing. That's how you can move from contemplation, reflection, into understanding. Start with inquiry. All these are three turning of four noble truths. And to contemplate and reflect, you need a quiet setting. That's why the talented people I used to tell you, the musician, the poet, they are very talented when they are in that setting that they like, very peaceful. Most of the time with nature, except for Su Tong Po, he likes to drink wine. Hurt you. When he is drinking, he has a lot of creativity. Then the poem just comes. So it has to do with creativity. When you are in a peaceful, quiet setting, you have a lot of creativity and your talent will emerge. And different people have different conditions to become creative. Certain people like to listen to music to be stimulated, to have creative mind. Certain type of slow music. And nowadays, youngsters different, they like the hard rock. The more stimulated one, they more excited. Then when they move, everything is stimulated. They think actively. That one is using thought. Whereas contemplation and reflection is slow one. Slow. Very little or no thinking. You just reflect. Throw the inquiry up. Then let the inquiry lead your creative mind to understand. Like the Buddha said, birth is suffering. So when you reflect and contemplate, you inquire, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? So when you inquire, means what? You reflect over the birth process. Especially a lady, woman, easy, where you carry baby before, you deliver them before, unless you are not married. Then even if you are not married, you can read up nowadays on the internet. You can find out from your family members and friends and colleagues. So all this will bring forth the reflection and contemplation. So as you reflect and contemplate on the process of birth, conceiving the child, then how the child get born into this world and what happened to the child, then you understand a lot more clearer as to why the Buddha said birth is suffering. Then you start to understand, The deluded people thought, wow, newborn baby, first child, looking forward to new moon, looking forward to the grandchildren. So it's supposed to be a joyous occasion, isn't it? Then where is suffering? Well, you only look at that part. But how the mother go through the 10 months, and how that birth process come about. Then how the child, when is born, wherever there is birth, there is old age, sickness, and death. What happens when there is complication, understand, during birth? And there is suffering. And everybody is affected, understand, those who are related. So not only the parents, the in-laws, the grandparents, sometimes the loved ones, they are all affected. So all this will lead to understanding. Understanding is wisdom. So wisdom got many levels, understand? Contemplative wisdom is second turning. There is the third turning, which is the realization, bhavana maya panya. Wisdom born of cultivation, born of the direct seeing. And that one is realization. Very penetrative. Understanding initially is not penetrative, understand? Most of the time it's contemplative wisdom, but it's also powerful enough. It prepares the base for you to go through the third turning, the realization, the awakening. But when you realize and awaken, your understanding deepens. Your understanding gets stabilized. Yeah. Initially, when you awaken or realize, you already have that understanding inside. But they are still not stable, understand? Very crude, understand? Crude in inverted comma. Because when you are already enlightened, when you realize, when you encounter situation, you will not suffer, you will know what to do. But crude in the sense that you cannot explain, understand? You cannot share with people, understand? You cannot teach, understand? But once it's stabilized, until very clear through your constant reflection and contemplation and sharing, then what happens is, you not only have that understanding born of that realization, you can explain clearly, you can share, like what I explained to you, what I share with you. And this is not until you're very stable, you cannot do it on. And you don't believe, you go and try. Even like now, you see Alicia, they all, they have this type of transformation, some form of understanding, realization. But they can only use their own word and share with you what happened. But they cannot solve your problem. They cannot relate to life and tell you all these things because it has not stabilized. And he only understands her problem. But initially it's like that. But that understanding is very different. It's a type of wisdom. It can apply to any situation that happened to her. But she must, through this experience, understanding, slowly, slowly reflect, contemplate, and accumulate them. Then later on, when she cultivate further, then if she has the potential to go the long way, then she will discover the, what they call, the bodhisattva way type of cultivation. Then she will develop the type of wisdom and understanding that is a lot wider than what the sainthood way is, understand? So sainthood way is in a way quite limited on. But there are a lot more things that the bodhisattva cultivate and perfect. And through that, they know how to apply all those things. Like the power of what they call merits. Your aspiration, adhittana, all those things. These are perfection, or 10 perfection that the Sammasambuddha cultivate. Whereas the normal sainthood, they don't perfect it. They make use of it. Like the Buddha teach you, you chant, Ipmina punyang kamina, mami bala samagamo, satang samagamo, ho tu, yawa nivana patiya. Means, you make use of it. After every session of cultivation, you recite, you say, by the power of all these merits and wholesomeness, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to always avoid the foolish, meet out with the wise, so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized as soon as possible. So when you constantly use it, then it will pave the way for causes and conditions to arise because you use the power of merit. You actually invoke the power of nature's law, understand? Not? Because you say by the power of this merit, you channel it to nature's law. You say, may it arise the causes and conditions for me to avoid the foolish, me out the wise, so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. When you do that, you don't want to know how it happened now. Nature's law will arrange now for the causes and conditions. Somehow, your nature, every time it comes, you will avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise. If you don't make this type of aspiration, you will entangle. Understand? Well, you don't know how to channel your merits, your blessing. You don't know how to make use of them. It's like money, huh? Merit is like money. Whatever that is allowable, usable, money can allow you to buy your hair. You can use money to go and buy. Understand? Merit is the same. You cannot make ridiculous aspiration. Understand? May it arise the causes and conditions for me to have some selfish thing. Cannot. People's wife also you want to take. How can? So all this against nature's law, it cannot arise. That any element of selfishness, evil root, it cannot manifest. It has to be a pure wish. Understand? That's why I say it has to be very sincere. Either to help somebody or to arise the causes and conditions for your cultivation to move on through the noble understanding of the cultivation. Now then all this can happen. It can manifest and become possible. Okay? So this four now, more or less you understand, huh? Yeah.
What I'm saying now, maybe Brother can elaborate on this. I remember at one time when these four words used to be used so ever often, it became a hindrance to me actually. In a way.
Can you elaborate a bit on that?
That's why the question just now came up. If you take the words, all these four words, in the English context, it's very different. And what happened was, when I used this, I threw caution in the wind, meaning that I actually don't really put so much emphasis on the word itself. It's just that I just say that, let's say I have a problem or anything.
Yeah.
I just move inwards.
Okay.
Beyond the word contemplation, beyond the word reflection. In whatever situation that I am. And when I find that I use that in that way, it opens the door. It's quite different from having to say, I must reflect, I must contemplate, I must understand, I must, order to have my realization of my insight.
Yeah.
But when you do not use this word as a word by itself, and you move inwards to find what is actually wrong with your...
I know.
Yeah, whatever your problem is.
Because your way is different. You're off it. Yeah. Because your way is different. So you see, like I say, everyone is different. Everyone is unique. Her way is, she likes to move inward, understand not? She check her inner mind, understand not? Yeah. That's how she deal with what happened inside her mind, understand not? So that is not reflection and contemplation. That is, you go in, you are doing meditation. You are doing meditation. You go inside, then you check. But at the same time, because you use thought, otherwise you cannot, then you start to develop understanding. Then you start to like, suddenly you realize, oh, your mind is like that. Like you say, when it come and test you, certain thing like at the retreat, then you went in and check. Then through that checking or the way you do your meditation, you come to understand many things. Then you start to from there untie the thing, understand? Then when you come out of it, then you reflect. At that time is reflection and contemplation, and then you untie. Then you go in and see and find out first. Then after that you come out, you reflect, contemplate. Oh, no wonder just now was so strong, understand? The anger, the what, the emotion, the fear. Then like the great test during the retreat in Penang. When she took you all there, you know what happened that night? He received a phone call, many of you didn't know. Clifford, the husband, was admitted to ICU. And she was very calm indeed. But whatever it is affected her. Then some of the organizers, the people who helped her, some of them also, whether knowingly or unknowingly, created some situation as well. So it was not easy. So that's why she needed to reflect on that. And she always say, I need to reflect and contemplate. And then I come and discuss with you. And she will make an appointment, come to the office. Then when she relate, after I listen, I explain. Then she starts to understand. And then she know what to do. But her way is different. She likes to go in and check. And that is actually initially is meditative, but because you use thought, as you check where you use a thought to try to understand. Then after that you come out. That time the reflection and contemplation happen, where you have some understanding and the clarity. Then through the Dhamma, through what you discuss with me, you reflect and contemplate on those words. And then you develop your own wisdom. That is your way. That's why you say this one can confuse you. Definitely, because your way is different. Whereas the normal people is, you start with inquiry. When you inquire, then only you can reflect and contemplate. If you got no subject for you to inquire, you cannot reflect. I cannot reflect on anything that I don't know. Or I don't want to know. You go and do your contemplation. Then you come back and breath, you contemplate what? Then I say contemplate on the death. Marana nusati. How I breath, you know? Everything also you want answer, solution. Then when the Buddha said, contemplate on the nine great virtue of the Buddha, Buddha nusati. Oh, how ah? Like that correct ah? Like that day, the whooping thing, so after he relayed the thing, then he asked all the question. Then I say, what is your question? Is this correct, brother? Then I have to explain, no, it's not about right and wrong. No. You know, right and wrong is what? Relative. Relative means what? Right according to you. Still right, what? What you think is right, so right according to you. But right and wrong is a convention, is relative, it's not a reality, it's not the ultimate truth. So meditation is not about right and wrong. Meditation is about understanding what you do in the name of meditation. Then I explain to him what the focus should be. Train your mind to be heedful, then use it to meditate. Both also he didn't do. He was more interested in his experience, in how he do his meditation. The conditioning, everything, thought with everything. After that, only he come to understand. And he has been meditating, if I'm not wrong, 20, 30 years at least. And can still be stuck like that. That's why it's not easy. And I can tell you, in this world, very few people can teach. Because there was one co-cultivator with me during the early day. She developed all the jhana, everything, very gifted on the path. In one session, sit 4 to 8 hours. Then one shot, all the 8 jhana all came. Before that, she did not meditate on. She also housewife, lady. Then you know what happened. Then after many, many years, 20 or years later, understanding also stabilized. But her way is different because she took the jhana way. Then she tried to teach meditation at that center. in Malacca, I think. Then he came and asked me one day, discussed with me. He said, he called me Ati, he don't call me Brother Tio. He Hokkien Lang. Then, you know what happened? He said, how you teach? I heard you teach meditation. He said, they come with so many different type of questions. No? How you answer them all? Well, he only know Jana. And Jana also, he cannot describe. So, it's very difficult. Then, the essential Dhamma, they don't have the clear understanding and breakthrough. But Janic experience a lot as well. They deal with that, and their mind in that state is like enlightened. But it's a different type of mind. It's conditioned state, energy field. Then she asked me, actually, not easy. So many people come all different, and they ask me questions. I also don't know how to handle them. And these are people with very advanced meditation. That's why it's not easy, I tell you. You think easy to teach. Everyone is different. Oh, another 5 minutes. Oh, ten, time already. Huh? Wow, time already. another 1-2 minutes. Okay, you got any more questions or not? Otherwise we can end. Otherwise we can do the sharing of merits. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, we will make the aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. The other thing is, we should thank Stephanie and Hui Rong, the recording, and Hui Rong put it into the Tuesday WhatsApp. She created the Tuesday WhatsApp, very good. So now I got any of the good sharing from the other WhatsApp group, I will send it to the Tuesday, so that you all receive one shot. Last time I had to send one by one. I sent to Hui Rong, then I say you pass to N, then ask N to pass. So now, you all, if your phone number is still not in the Tuesday class WhatsApp, give it to Hui Rong. Bichin, you are part of it or not? The Tuesday. Your phone, you want to have the sharing? You pass your phone number to Stephanie, she will pass to Hui Rong, then it will be in. We should thank them. We say sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.